Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, friends. This is Rhonda Waters of Mutare Hypnosis and Mutare Group. But today I'm here to talk to you a little bit about support for caregivers. It's a topic I've been thinking about or trying to figure out how to do something with for actually quite a long time, but I never could figure out how to organize people to get together into groups. I couldn't kind of figure out my schedule. Some of you know I run my own business, so I'm here and there. I'm here this week. I'm there next week. So I couldn't really organize it effectively because the people I know who are running these groups where they have support groups for people who have long-term illnesses, that they have like a central location and they have all, you know, background support and all these other kind of things, none of which I had or could organize or have so far not been able to organize effectively. So I began to think I really wasn't going to be able to run a sort of a caregiver support group. Then I remembered, because I was once upon a time, those of you who remember my mother, I took care of my mom before she passed away, that I didn't have time to go out and be doing stuff and be here and there and all these other kind of things. I, you know, barely had time to get exercise and take care of some other things, you know, when I was taking care of her. So it occurred to me, finally, I was like, that the best use of for this kind of group might be to have a 15-minute radio program or program people could download, listen to later that would support for people who are caregivers. A lot of times with caregivers, we think that we just have to keep doing whatever has to be done. And in some cases, that you're 100% right. Whatever it is you have to do, it's just what you have to do. However, a lot of us also live in places where we have options or other support systems. And I was reminded of this recently. I was talking to a friend of mine in that she was caring for an elderly parent and pretty much coming from work, caring for the parent, work, caring for the parent, work, almost never any time off. Well, her workplace, some of her friends were going on a week-long trip someplace, and she's, you know, I can't go. And finally, somebody suggested to her that the state she lives in actually does have respite care for people, so you can get time off to do some of those kinds of things. And that it was a readily available thing, and somebody had a phone number, and they called the social worker, and away they went. So in her case, it was actually relatively easy. This is also a situation of a care for a mom. And the mom was trying to get her to go, you know, do something else. You know, please, you know, take some time off. You need a break. And the daughter just that, you know, figured this was my duty, and she had to soldier on. But that is not always the case. So please, those of you who are caregivers, it's important to recognize that you remain a human being beneath all your Superman, Superwoman talents, skills, and abilities that have allowed you to continue caring for someone who may be ill. And now, they may not have, you know, what we might consider to be a terminal illness. It may just be a long-term illness, like in the case of things like hypertension and diabetes and lupus and some of the things that I brought up, maybe a long-term thing. And that sometimes when people take the medication, they figure, well, that's it, I'm done. But if you're a caregiver, for example, for someone with diabetes, you know, you just can't eat everything you want whenever you want, especially if you're taking insulin. It screws up the whole process. And the more times you have to be shipped off to the hospital to have your insulin realigned, the more times you're causing a potentially irreparable damage to your body. So the part where a caregiver is worried about these kind of things, and sometimes you can't, usually you can't make anybody do anything anyhow. Sometimes for caregivers, it's important to recognize that some things you have control of and some things you don't. In some families, we're going to talk a lot about this in upcoming programs. In some families, people assume that the primary caregiver is just handling everything. They don't want to rock the boat by saying, you know, can I help? Or they may have said, can I help? And if you're the caregiver, give them something to do. Even though you can handle it, let them share a little of the work. Did you hear me? Even though you don't really need them, when someone asks you if they can help, an appropriate person, obviously, let them help. Let them do something, even if it just frees you for 10 minutes of sitting down watching TV or calling back your friends or, you know, going out for a walk. You know, let them do something. Making a dinner one night a week, if they make it and bring it over. Some people are like, oh, my mother, my father only wants, my husband, only my wife only wants to do this or that. We'll talk about how to work with them and hopefully renegotiate some of the habits. Because sometimes, to steal from Dr. Phil, you teach people how to treat you. So sometimes we have to rework old habits. For example, I share an example from my mom was one of those people. We had to buy a new vacuum every year because Lily would wear it out using it. She vacuumed every. She liked that beautiful pattern on the rug, you know, the vacuum marks, you know, whatever. So she vacuumed every day that she had the heart attack. And then one of the things they said, "Oh no, you will not be doing that." That across the chest pulling of the vac. No, that is a non-starter. So initially, because my mom was at the time, I think she was in her late 70s, social worker suggested that she have a home care aide who could do, you know, that kind of light cleaning, that sort of, you know, what happened. Nope, 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 nope. Well, those of you who know me know that I can clean, but it ain't my best thing. So, and I mean, I'll do it because you have to, but I'm not, as we would say, studying vacuuming every day. Because that's what mother likes. You're talking about 45 minutes of vacuuming every day. I'm like, I'm not doing that. So eventually, after the second heart attack, she actually allowed a home aide into the house. And she loved this lady. Maybe the first one wouldn't have been so good. But the second one loved her, kept her many, many years. An energetic, outgoing kind of person. In her case, also a very spiritual, religious person. Mom and her would sing songs together, old spirituals and off-key. But, you know, they enjoyed each other's company. And this lady worked while she talked. She didn't. Some people, you know, if you start to talk, you say hello to them, they stop and working and they look at you. You know, this lady talked and worked. So my mother enjoyed her company tremendously. That was one less thing to do. So she would vacuum. She, whatever needed to be done, she cleaned collard greens to the nth degree that mother required. She ironed her T-shirts. My mother didn't like to wear, she said, rough, dried clothes. These were tasks that I no good at, I really didn't want to do. So sometimes when you're a caregiver, it's important to recognize that you don't really have to do everything in a way that the other person might have said originally, and sometimes they're willing to negotiate. It hasn't even occurred to them that how much time, trouble, and effort you're putting into a process. Also, something to consider, we'll talk more about in upcoming programs, is how to negotiate or renegotiate with your siblings. If you have, it wasn't her, it was someone else. It was Al Roker's wife was on. She was talking about her mom had Alzheimer's, I think. And that her sister was taking care of it, and she said the other four siblings were somewhere else and not really paying attention. They call the mom every other day, but so they're in contact, but nobody's doing the work except the other sister. So finally, this other sister calls them all and said, "You got to get here." So everybody had come home, and she basically read them the riot act. Because she thought, the sister thought, and you may be thinking, that's my point of mentioning this, that other people will see that you're working and somebody will offer to help you. Sometimes, it's been my experience, that especially if they think you're good at something and they think they might not be as good at it, people won't volunteer. You may need help, but unless you ask for help, you won't get any. Them that ask, get. So figuring out who to ask or how to ask. There may be state agencies, and there may be, like I said, here in Massachusetts and some other states, they have resources to help for respite care for people because it is a lot less expensive to have somebody staying at home most of the time, cared for by family members, than having somebody come in and be a caregiver for them, you know, for 1 week a month, or some other activities, or organizing such things as like taking somebody to elder care. Yeah, the ride. We also have the senior shuttle, which my mother rode for many years to go to cardiac rehab. So the senior shuttle would come. She knew the driver's name was Kevin. He'd come. He would walk her into the thing, and on the other end, he would walk her back in from the van. Those kind of services, they care for people, taking, transporting them people. It's not, you know, mean to do that, and sometimes we have to renegotiate with those people. We'll talk more about that. But part of the process I want you to consider is taking even 5 minutes a day for yourself. When you really allow yourself to relax, stop doing and just be for 5 minutes a day. I've taught in the other program that I did for people who have illnesses. I taught a breathing practice. I'm going to do a review of how to do the breathing practice for you guys. But you're going to inhale through your nose, and this triggers, and I can talk about this in more detail later on another program, this triggers the relaxation response. This triggers the positive endorphins and hormones you want to have going through your body to allow your body to get rest and recuperation. So I want you to breathe in through your nose for a count of three, hold the breath for a count of three, then exhale through pursed lips. Make a small hole in your lips in the front and just breathe slowly through that for a count of six. You're going to inhale, hold it, and exhale. One. Inhale, hold it, and exhale. Two. Now, I'm breathing audibly. You don't have to. Inhale, hold it, and exhale. Three. Inhale, hold it, exhale. Four. Inhale, hold it, exhale. Five. Halfway. Inhale, hold it, exhale. Six. Think the word calm. Inhale, hold it, and exhale. Eight. Inhale, hold it, and exhale. Nine. Inhale, hold it, and exhale. Now I want you to do that breathing practice. It's 10 breaths. It'll take you only about 2 minutes, at least three times a day, before you get out of bed in the morning or right after you get out of bed, in the car on the way to work. You can do it anytime you want. No one necessarily needs to know you're doing it. You're just breathing and counting. At around lunchtime and again at night before you go to bed. The habit of doing this breathing practice has been studied extensively across time. People do this in all kinds of cultures all around the world to help relax or change their shift their body emotions, to shift their feelings. So you as a caregiver for someone need a few moments to allow your emotions to be calmed and at peace. And just allow yourself to have that. Take a few moments each day to do that, and I'll be back with another episode after a bit. So thanks for listening. Take care of yourself.